From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Continuing to share the cost of discipleship with deeds of bold mercy and courageous justice.
As the Easter people follow in the risen Lord, may the life of Jesus live on in us and through us. Amen.
Our children's time is led by Jenny Medlin.
Well, have you guys heard of germs?
Yeah.
Yep. Are germs something we like to share?
No,
is it?
We don't wash our hands.
We wash our hands.
We use to get rid of germs. Sometimes we collect germ eggs. Yes, you use germ eggs. You might see your parents at home wiping things down with Lysol or Clorox wipes, or at school. Because what can germs lead to?
Sickness,
right? Let's talk about some symptoms. If you have an itchy, sore throat, and your eyes are watery, and your nose is running. What might you have?
Cold.
A cold. You might have allergies. You might have a strep throat, right? So germs are something that we all carry and something that we don't want to share, right? But let me tell you about something else we all have within us and something that we would love to share. It's God's love. Did you know we all have God within us? Yes, have you learned that? You've probably heard it if you come to Sunday school and church. We have God's love within us, and that is something we want to share. So how might we share God's love? How do we do that? You know, how do you think we can share God's love with others? Tell people about Him, because some people don't know God's name, right? So we can tell them, like we tell people, you might have the cold. We can say, you have God's love. Did you know that? Can we pray out in public and at home? Yeah, pray like that is okay. Because when we pray, others will see it and they'll wonder, huh, what are you doing? Can I do that too? And can everybody do that? Everybody can pray, right? Doesn't matter what color or how old or young you are, you can send up a prayer to God. Can you invite them to church? Yeah! This is where we learn about God, right? So we invite friends to church with us too. So while we don't want to share our germs, what do we want to share? God's love. We all have God's love within us, and we want to be sure to share that and help others to find God's love within them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, help us to identify you in our daily lives and help us to help others recognize your love and your acts within their lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our special music, They'll Know We Are Christians, is by the Good Vibrations Bell Choir led by Phil Lewis.
Thank you.
The epistle lesson is read by Alan Chambers.
The epistle lesson today comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. So Paul, standing in the middle of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, a representation of by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." Here ends the epistle lesson.
This morning we welcome our interim pastor, Reverend Eugene Maul. His first Sunday with us, his sermon is entitled "Jesus Loves Me and I Love Jesus." It's based on a gospel lesson from John.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you in a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Here ends the gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The place was the banquet room of a hotel in a small eastern Montana city. About 150 men had come together early in the morning for this, the very first mayor's prayer breakfast. You can imagine the group that was there: ranchers, merchants, teachers, some professional people. It was a good attendance for this small town. Well, breakfast was served, and what did men talk about? Well, probably politics and the economy and the weather. It's like things they talk about at the McDonald's here or the Burger House or places like that. And the mayor stood up and the room was hushed and the program began and the local merchant said the prayer and another read the scripture and then it was time for the main speaker. Well, first time in a group like that, they thought, we'll get the county attorney to come from Yellowstone County. He was a former big college football player and he was big. And he stood up to talk. No notes or anything. And he says, "I'm here this morning to tell you two things. One, how much Jesus Christ loves me. And secondly, how much I love Jesus Christ." Well, you could have heard a pin drop. There was no long introduction, no jokes, no interesting stories. Just his story and his witness, intimate and simple as it was. It was a witness to Jesus and his love, and it was his love to Jesus. Well, centuries earlier, a small He was a friend. He was a teacher. He had handpicked these men. And for months they had walked together and worked and prayed together and played. Now they had this time together. One last time. It was meal and love time. A love from Jesus time. And really how we would respond in a love to Jesus time. Clearly, it was his time to share with them these love gifts for them, these matters of the heart. Not only his love, but what he wanted them to do also. A love from Jesus dying and a love to Jesus dying. Disciple John has several chapters in the Bible here that reveals this personal and intimate relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. It also shows the relationship that Jesus would have then with us. This love relationship with each one of us. Jesus loves me. And what he wants from us is love to Jesus. Well, it all begins like even with the song we sang as the children came out there. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, it begins then with the Heavenly Father, God. John, in one of his letters, says, we love because he first loved us. And God sent Jesus in love. God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And to receive Jesus is our first response to love. And as we receive him, we indeed become children of God. Born not of this world, but of God. However, we can say not to receive Jesus is really a rejection of him. Even the disciples had a little question on that. You know, Peter had a little problem once in a while, as we say. One of them might have been there when Jesus wanted to wash his feet. And Peter, the Lord, oh, you don't wash my feet. And Jesus had to say, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. See, to receive Jesus is to really invite him into our lives. What does that one passage say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. It may be done in prayer, or as the children sing at times, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You may even have sung that song because I've got the joy, 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 joy now. Down in my heart to stay. In Acts, it has said, in him we live and move and have our being. So that invitation is there. Maybe it's that simple table prayer we say at times. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Jesus is no gatecrasher to our hearts. He comes and we respond, maybe at the font, or the table, or in our prayers. And as we receive him, we find wholeness and healing and forgiveness for our lives again. Are you a Christian? Asked the lady of the assistant chief of police in a large city one Sunday morning at church. He had just been boasting, and she heard that, of all the great things that were working out for him since he had become a Christian. So he replied, yes, I am a Christian. How do you know? Well, I am American. I believe in the American way of life. I believe in democracy. And I know that I am a Christian because I am an American. And the lady said, surely you can do better than that. Tell me, how do you know that you are a Christian? Well, he said, I'm a member of this church. I attend every Sunday. I give generously. I read the Bible. I pray. And besides that, I really believe in Jesus. Yeah. Lady looked at him. That's not enough. Does Jesus live in you? Have you received him into your life? See, that's just like the disciple John. To him, Jesus was more than a house guest. He does not just come in and bless us and leave. To receive him, he is our teacher, he is our Lord. And if you love him, you let him come in, and you better plan to serve him. Point blank, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, that becomes our desire, natural desire. I can imagine possibly when you celebrated Maundy Thursday before Easter, that one passage that is often said that night is, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Love never quits. It listens and hears. It heals and binds. It builds up and it strengthens. It's a love that never lets go. There's a single, simple commandment here. And it says, love is the sign of the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Yeah. But not to love really is sin. And many times we may fail. And sometimes it's difficult to love one another even as members of the same congregation. See, unfortunately, churches can become unloving churches. And divisions can occur, and Jesus knows that. But we are never to try to quit trying to love. And he has promised them help. He says there will be an advocate, a counselor, a Holy Spirit. And he will live with you. You will not be orphaned and desolate. And that Spirit would come in its fullness when Pentecost came. One of the most difficult times for a congregation to love is when it deals with delinquents. If members may not be seen or heard from, or they drop out of sight, or they drop out of mind, and often out of heart, it was easy just to write them off. But it is so difficult to go and see them. To love them as Jesus loved seems impossible. And so it was with Pete, the wheat farmer, Little Bighorn Valley in Montana. He was a member of the German church. Sounds like it could be here. So was his brother, his friend Al. And Al was a single, tall, good-looking person. He owned the fanciest bar in town. And he drove the biggest car. And he was a delinquent. Well, the congregation decided one day that they would have a week of evangelism. And in this week, they would visit some of the delinquents. They'd make special visits. And hopefully bring them back into the life of the church. So the names assigned to the members of the board and so forth, we call it the consistory here. And sure enough, Pete got Al's name. And he did not want to go. What would he tell him? How would he begin? Finally, one night he went, got his courage up, and he decided, well, Al could do nothing more than just not let him in. So he drove by the house, and there was no light there. He says, good, I can just go back home. But he drove around the block, and he saw a little light back. He said, oops, I better go to the door. He came to the door, and Al answered and opened up, and he said, well, hello, Pete, what do you want? Al, and Jesus wants you to come back to church. Like that. And Alvin could say, come on in, Pete, let's talk. You see, Pete here was loving Jesus by keeping his commandment. Tough as it seemed. But that counselor, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the advocate was with him that night. And as the story would unfold, there is more. That the greatest love of Jesus is someday that we will see him face to face. Because I live, you will live also. And the reality became even stronger for the disciples following the resurrection. Earlier it sounded like a game of hide and seek. You know, he says, a little while you will no longer see me, but then you will see me. And they might have said, well, what is going on? But they understood more after that resurrection. For Al here, it was 6 months later, he did respond to Pete's invitation. And he did receive Jesus, and he was seen in church. twice, but he just never missed again. Until he could not come anymore when cancer hit him. And Pete saw the risen Lord work in the life of Al, making him ready, changing him for the day he could see Jesus face to face. As we receive Jesus, his love, that is the promise that is waiting for all of us, he is there. The promise because he is good. And his promise is good. We'll be singing in the closing today of that lovely little Lena Sandell hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. And it talks about, though he giveth or he taketh, God is children there for Savior. It is the loving purpose solely to preserve pure and holy. That's there for us. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.